Blessed land where saints never die. Lord, we're gonna sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah by and by.
Amen. Amen. Truly, we can say this morning that we look forward to a day where we enter into the land of no more. As Revelations tells us, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more trouble, no more heartache, for the former things of this life have passed away. And John, while exiled on the Isle of Patmos, he said, behold, I make all things new. Yeah. We're so thankful this morning that when we think about heaven, it will be a place unlike anything we've experienced here on earth. Everybody who gets to heaven will be there on purpose. There will not be any accidental entries into heaven. You won't have to look around and ask anybody to sing. You won't have to beg anybody to show up. And you surely won't have to ask anybody to realize whether they've been blessed or not. I don't have to ask you this morning if you're blessed. I don't have to ask you this morning if God has been good to you. You are the evidence, the fact that you got up this morning. And I got up this morning and I slept all night and God protected my house and I knew who I was. And if God has never done anything else for you this week, he allowed you to put one foot in front of the other. And I assume that you had some food on your table and everything may not be like you would like it to be, but God is still good. And we come to worship him this morning and give him our praise and just to tell him how much we love him. I'm so thankful here to be in Houston. With the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. I can't tell y'all how excited I am, and I'm actually trying to keep my cool, have more swag than what I feel on the inside. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be here. You know, nobody has to ask you to do anything. So first of all, I'm humbled by the invitation of Brother Smith and the leadership here. You know, I feel the same way. I've always admired him, his spirit, the ministry, and for years I've looked at this congregation from far off as a standard. And of faithfulness and of staying with God and staying with the word. And I know so many people here connected to the Fifth Ward Church, and I don't even have time to name, but I'm just excited to be here. And as he said, I like batting leadoff. There's no pressure. So my job is to set the tone, to get on base and try to score a run, or at least get in position to score a run. And so what a wonderful series to be a part of. And as he said, I actually have, this is my actual amen corner that I have here with me today. Y'all hear that right there? So if I don't get one amen this morning, I know I got my amen corner right here. I was surprised. I didn't know if my family's going to make it down. So they all made it down this morning, wife and girls and sister-in-law. And I told you my amen corner. I see a couple other members here that are with us this morning. So I'm glad that you all are here this morning, as well as so many who are watching online this morning. And I'm with Brother Smith. The pandemic has afforded us a unique opportunity to spread the gospel in ways that we haven't before. And so to all of you who are watching, we just want to let you know that we're so glad that you're here today. So I'm appreciative for this space and this time. And I want to make sure that I get to my lesson so I can cover what is necessary here this morning. Two, as I'm looking at the theme for this series and considering what my job is today, it is to really set the context, to really understand what sowing and reaping is. Now, within the time frame that I have, I don't have time to work on this like I would like to, but I know the Spirit is going to give me utterance this morning. Amen. I want you, first of all, to know that wherever you are and however you are prepared to hear the word this morning, I want you to know that there's never a problem with the integrity. Most of the time you won't find a problem with the integrity of the seed. The problem comes with the soil in which the seed finds itself planted. Sometimes it's not the word of God, but it's our receptiveness to be able to hear and receive the word of God. I believe that this morning that it's God's will that you have increase. It's God's will that all of us have increase. And no one teaches you. Your minister doesn't teach you without the goal of having increase in your life. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm going to get to our text here in a second, but Paul talks about this, and he wanted the church to know that in the process of seed planting and watering, he says that I have planted. Paul waters, but God is the one that gives the increase. In other words, God is the one that makes it grow. I don't care what kind of plans you have. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care what kind of resources you think you have. I don't care how long you've been in the church. But it is God, the one that gives the increase. You can plant all day, and someone can water all day, but God is the one that gives increase. In Mark, Jesus talks about when the sower plants it in the ground, he doesn't really even know that process of the germination process, which the seed transformed from the seed into the fruit. And what I want us to know this morning, that either you are an initiator, which is a planter, an irrigator, or a waterer. And if you are not initiating or watering, you are an agitator. And I pray this morning that you would either be an initiator or an irrigator. And so what that means is, once the seeds are planted, or once you plant a seed, or once a seed is planted, God plants a seed, the sower does not continue to go and check the seed in the ground, in the dirt. There is a process that must take place in order for a transformation to occur. So I want somebody to know this morning that just because you don't see the fruit, or just because you're not experiencing the harvest, you've got to be patient and let the watering take place. Now, sometimes it takes a long time for some of these seeds to really germinate and bring forth fruit. That's why it's important for us to understand this morning the principles of sowing and reaping. Now, first of all, I want you to know, when you talk about planting is destiny concealed. In other words, every seed has a destination. There is an intent. And I want to ask the question this morning, why even sow a seed if you don't have the intent of receiving an increase? The farmer goes and plows a field and sows a seed without some level of expectation that there will be a harvest if some time elapses. And I see a lot of people today that don't understand. There's a song we sing back home called Harvest Time. And in the words of the song, the psalmist says, "Oh Lord, I've come to receive my blessing. I've been patiently waiting, for the harvest is nigh." I got the Hebrews 11 and 1. Somebody says, what does Hebrews 11 and 1 say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What that means is, the faith is the backing of faith is the currency of heaven. So what that means is, just say, after I leave here today, I want to go to Whataburger. If I have a dollar bill, a $5 bill in my hand, that means that I can exchange that dollar bill in. See, when I have the dollar bill in my hand, that means that I believe that since I possess the dollar bill is the currency that allows me to exchange it for the milkshake. Y'all get what I'm saying? So faith is the substance of things. As long as I got that dollar bill, I know I can get that milkshake. And once I get the dollar bill, I know I got access to get it, even if they don't have it. And so what faith says, as long as I got faith in my possession, I got access to anything that God can give. And I read somewhere that he owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. I read somewhere that nothing is impossible to those who have faith. And so to plant is destiny concealed. You never know what that seed is going to bring forth. And he says, I got the Hebrews 11 and 1, the kind of faith that knows my blessing is going to come. To have increase is destiny revealed. To plant means that it's concealed. To have increase means that the destiny is revealed. And between the concealing and the revealing is watering. I want you to think about this, even from the beginning of time. God put destiny in all living things. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 29, the Bible says that God gave every seed on the earth a fruit after his own seed. That means in the planting process, we are now procreators. That means God doesn't have to come down every time it's time to create and create the seed all over again. In other words, anything that we plant, we are procreators. We are fellow workers together. And in Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 30, in verse number 22, the Bible says that as long as the earth exists, there will be seed, time, and harvest. And so, as I said earlier, the integrity of the seed is never at question. It's not not the issue. It's the soil on which the seed falls. And I'm not going to get into this because I see somebody else is going to deal into the parable of the sower and the seed. And so I want you to know something about reaping and sowing. Now, first of all, you got to know that you reap what you sow. Now, our text tells us that if you're going to reap to the spirit, if you're going to sow to the spirit, you're going to reap eternal life, everlasting life. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Now, Paul tells us in chapter 5 of that the spirit and the flesh work against one another. So that means that that when you sow into the flesh, you can't sow to the flesh and want to reap to the spirit. If you sow to the spirit, you will not reap to the flesh. He says these two are contrary to one another. And then Paul would also say in Romans, this is what happens in your life. Sometimes you find yourself doing the very thing that you don't want to do. Do I have anybody in here this morning or anybody here watching that sows seeds sometimes that are contrary to the thing that you actually don't want to be? So he says these two work against one another. They are contrary to one another. So when you sow and reap, and consider this, first of all, you reap what you sow. Now, I know we're living in a pandemic, and I often tell people, like, things in life, I believe that you can simplify them according to scripture. They happen for one or two reasons. Number one, God is trying to get the glory. Think about the man in John chapter 9, born blind from birth. He had been born blind his whole life, had never experienced anything. And his whole entire life, Jesus says, no, he was blind. He didn't sin. This man didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. He was born blind for the purpose that one day I would pass by and get the glory for giving him his sight. Number two, if God's not trying to get the glory, we've got to understand that we are living in a fallen world. Remember the parable of the tares and the wheat. And the tares and the wheat got to grow together. And sometimes, if you understand tares and wheat, sometimes the tares look like the wheat. That's why he says you've got to leave the harvesting to the angels in the end, and they're going to separate the tares from the wheat and the goat from the sheep. So sometimes things just happen because we live in a fallen world. And then lastly, I believe sometimes things just happen because we just reaping what we sow. See, you reap what you sow. What that means, I cannot put a lemon seed in the ground and expect an apple tree to grow. Some of us are still confused at the harvest because we're expecting something different than what we've put in. That's like going to Bank of America. I want you to go to the bank right now and ask the bank to give you $100,000 without you first making a deposit of that same amount. You reap what you sow. You get into it what you put out. Some of us are sowing, expecting a different crop. You reap what you sow. And see, some of us, the things about reaping and sowing are taking time. Some of us right now, 10, 15, 20 years later, are reaping things that we sown years ago. Nobody wants to deal with that. It's coming back on you. That's why be careful what you do. I tell people all the time, you can mess with me if you want to. But when your arm fall off 10 years later or 5 years later, listen, you don't mess with God's children. It's going to come back on you sooner or later. So you've got to be careful about the seeds that you sow, because it takes a little time, but you're going to reap what you sow. The writer says God is not mocked. That's the oldest principle, seed, time, and harvest. You plant the seed, but it takes time to grow, and it's going to come back up on you again. That thought ought to make all of us a little nervous this morning. Because you know what? I'm going to be honest this morning. I still got some stuff I got to reap. And I'm asking God for grace every day, because sometimes you learn a little better. And sometimes when you were sowing that seed, you weren't in the word like you should have been. And sometimes when you were sowing that seed, you were immature. And sometimes you sowed some seeds while you were hurt and frustrated. And then you ask God, like, Lord, I didn't even realize where I was at that point. But now I'm growing in grace and growing in the word. Lord, have mercy upon me for the seeds that I sowed when I wasn't ready. When I wasn't in the word, when I wasn't as astute and understood what your will was for my life. So you reap what you sow, but then you reap more than what you sow. See, reaping what you sow can be thrilling or threatening depending on what side of the fence you stand on. Because some of us are excited about reaping what we have sown. Because we sown a lot of good things that nobody saw. That's why the text tells us that we should do good to all men. but especially those in the household of faith. But he says, do not grow weary in well-doing. Do not grow weary in the kind word that you've offered, or the note that you're at, or the food that you've taken somebody, or that you've taken somebody in. And I realize this, when I get to glory, most of the things that I've done for the Lord, none of y'all even know it. Because the word teaches us that we ought not to do things to be seen of men. Jesus says, if you do things to be seen of men, you'll have your reward, which is the glory and the praise of men. But the Lord knows, I'm thankful this morning that God knows and understands that every good seed I sow, and some seeds you got to cry, you got to sow in tears. And some seeds I learned that I sow in tears, but I reap in joy. Joy comes in the M-O-R-N-I-N-G, but it also will come in the M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. I've learned that I've sowed some seeds because I'm trying to do the right thing. And let me tell you something. It don't feel good. I know the correct vernacular, but I'm just going to talk this morning. It doesn't feel good. Y'all got some educated folks, but it don't feel good to sow seeds. Sometimes knowing that the people that you're sowing them for, knowing the people that you're doing it for, don't appreciate it or see it. But know that when I put that lemon in the ground, a lemon's gonna come up. That's what you sow. But you put that little seed in the ground and it comes up as a ripe fruit, you reap more than what you sow. So that means if you sow in love, and what you give out to people, what you put out there, that's why I still never understand why people don't give back to the Lord. See, when you give to the Lord, it's not, you're not doing God a favor. All you're doing is returning to him what he's already given to you. That's why it's called an offering. I'm just giving you back a portion. Now think about it. We're not under the tithing system, but think about how beautiful this is. God says, I give you 10, I'll give you, let you keep 9 and give me 1. But you try to keep all 9 and get left with 1. Because you don't understand what sowing and reaping is. You reap more than what you sow. And then this is the tricky one. You reap later than what you sow. When you put that seed in the ground, it ain't going to come up tomorrow. There's a little time that must elapse. Now think about it. Jesus taught in terms, and this is an agricultural illustration, the sower and the seed. And you got to look at this word agriculture. Agra meaning vegetation, meaning growth. Cult, think about the word cult. The cult is a group that's not orthodox or not ordinary or not normal. So in other words, this means, agricultural means that when a seed is planted or a fruit is planted in a place that it does not normally grow. So when you think about planted, something is planted, that means it has been strategically placed. It doesn't happen natural. The fruit is not natural to the land. First of all, the soil has got to be cultivated. The soil has got to be developed, and the soil has got to be ready. And when you are planting versus when you are reaping, you bring a different tool. So when you're planting, you bring a hoe or a rake. You got to break up the loose ground, and the soil has got to be cultivated. That's why I've learned that everybody can't understand every word. There's some people that are listening to me this morning, and they really don't understand what I'm saying. And that might be the level that you're at. But some of us have tried God long enough and been with God long enough that we've learned through experience that in order for me to see what God wants me to see, first of all, my heart has got to be in a receptive place. That's why I'm telling you that you can't put good seed on every ground. That's why you're talking to some of your children and they act like they don't hear you. And you're trying to tell somebody something that don't want to hear you. Sometimes you got to learn to shake the dust off of your feet, because sometimes that ground has got to be right in order for that seed to be able to grow. Amen. That thing is not natural to the ground in which it has been planted. In other words, you placed it there and you made it grow, and it's been cultivated for growth. The conditions have been right. The integrity is in the seed. The integrity is in God's word. My heart has been conditioned to hear God's word and to respond to God's word and to react it. But I want you to know something. There is a difference between something being planted and something being buried. But they look the same. You cultivate the ground and you put the seed in and you cover. See, they bury the dead. Last year, my dad died, and I stood there because I wanted to make sure that he was dead. Somebody says, I want my daddy to come to me and talk to me. Listen, once I saw my daddy go on the ground, I don't need him to appear to me. I ain't seen him. He ain't showed up in my room, my house. He ain't said nothing. Because that's not him anyway. That's the shell of him. And the only reason why they buried him, his spirit is going back to God, which gave it. His soul is waiting. But that's just the body. That's just the shell of him. And so his body is just like the word said. It's gone back from the dust in which it came. And they buried him. And we buried him because we don't have any intention of him getting up from that place. Let the dead bury the dead. And when you plant a seed, you plant a seed, it's for transformation. Planting means that there is an expectation that when you plant and you cover. See, listen, I've learned in life, I'm a seed. I often say you can throw as much dirt on me, but I grow in the dirt and the dark. Seeds grow in the dirt and in the dark. Sometimes you got to let the dirt do its work. And God will potentially plant you in situations where the dirt is thrown on you, on top of you, but he'll continue to water you and he'll continue to help you be what you ought to be so you can bring forth the proper fruit. I'm telling somebody here this morning, if you are still upset because somebody rolled their eyes at you, you're not ready for the kingdom. I preached a few weeks ago that if you want patience, you've got to get it through endurance. Endurance is the engine or the instrument that leads you to patience. If you can't take nothing and tolerate nothing and deal with nothing and handle nothing, you might not be ready for the next step that God has for you. And so God will plant us often in dark situations, and he'll plant us in the dirt. But one thing I realize is what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. He says, he uses this metaphor. He says we were buried with him in baptism, which means we are in the likeness of his death. And then he transitions the language into planted. In verse number 5, he says, but planted in the likeness of his resurrection. So being planted means that I'm going to get up. But when I come up out of this water, I'm not in the same form that I was when I went down. Because I'm expecting a transformation to occur. So when you are sowing those seeds, you are expecting that you're going to get a return that was more and different, yet the same of what you sow. So I keep continuing to sow to the Spirit. What does that mean? That I'm making an investment. Now, I'm not at home, Brother Smith, so I can say this. Some of y'all think that you're more in danger of getting COVID at the church than you are on your job. Why does everybody get scared on Sunday? You weren't scared at Papa Do's. You weren't scared at the gym. You weren't scared at the Astros game. You weren't scared at HEB. You weren't scared at Kroger. But all of a sudden you got here and now you're nervous. But I thought we were a faith-based organization. I ain't talking about being dumb. I'm talking about wearing your mask and keeping your social distance. But when you sow to the Spirit, God will reveal the spiritual things to you. See, there's some stuff that we can't even understand because we can't even get on that level. Some of us says, I want to be deep. I want to be deep. Listen, sow to the Spirit and God will reveal the deep things of God. And God will show you, man, you ain't in no more danger here than you are anywhere else. Brother Smith didn't tell me this. We walk by faith. See, the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is sight. If I can see it, we want to see everything. Plant that seed. You don't need to see what's happening. Jesus says, you don't even know the process. Somebody tells me the process that takes place when a seed is planted. The germination process is a mystery. The Bible even says when you're baptized into Christ, baptism is an operation. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's an answer of a good conscience toward God. So there's an operation that takes place in water. It's a mystery that when someone gets up out of the water, being planted in the likeness of his death, you get up in the likeness of his resurrection. You are a new creation in Christ. Seeds grow in the dirt and the dark. Stop checking every seed that you planted. And I want you to know this morning, just because you're in a dark place, don't expect me to stay in the dark. I'm a seed. If you're sowing the right seeds, don't expect those seeds to stay in the dark, because it's just going to take a little time. I might be underground right now. Some of you might be underground right now. Keep sowing the seeds. It might feel like you're in the dirt and you're in the dark right now. But let me tell you something. I'm like that seed. I'm sowing to the Spirit. So even though I am in the ground, I know I'm going to come up again. Jesus says, no one takes my life. I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I got the power to raise it up again. I believe this morning that no matter what place that you find yourself in, you're going to come back better than when you went in. And I ask God sometimes, God, make me a seed. Use me. Plant me where you want to. And I don't always like the dirt and I don't always like the ground, but help me stay focused. Help me to realize that I got to continue to do good and I can't grow weary and well doing. And I know COVID, y'all don't understand, for church leaders, COVID can bring a lot of fatigue. For every member, COVID has brought a lot of fatigue. And I hear people saying all the time, I don't want to do this. I don't want to wear my mask. I don't want to do this. And listen. When I come up out of this, when God plants me in a place, see, I believe everywhere I am is where I'm supposed to be. God has strategically placed me and planted me for a time. There's someone here this morning who's not giving their life to Christ. The purpose of being baptized into Christ or planted into Christ is that when you get up out of that water, Paul says in Romans, you should walk in the newness of life. In other words, they don't recognize me. Like, I'm going to ask someone this morning, why is your old man still in proximity? I hear people say all the time, now, you know what? Don't test me. You will still get cussed out. Don't test me. I'll show you my old man. My question is, why is your old man still in striking distance? I thought you crucified the flesh and the lust there. I thought you came up a whole entire different entity being planted in the newness of life. As a matter of fact, we ought to say, you don't even recognize me. I don't think the same. I don't talk the same. I don't walk the same. I'm walking by faith. I'm sowing the right seeds and I'm expecting the harvest at due time, because I'm not growing weary. I'm throwing the seeds and I'm trying to throw it on good ground, and I'm trying to serve somebody and I'm giving a kind word. I'm trying to love my enemies. I'm giving to God as I prosper. I'm forgiving folk. I'm learning that I've got to stay connected to God. I'm serving Him. Even though I know COVID's out there, I know that COVID has not taken my life. And for all those, I know we've seen COVID take a lot of lives, and I want you to know that there are 1,000 ways to die. COVID is just one of them, but there are 1,000 ways to die, but there is only one way to live. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. It's the code. Every time I sow a seed, I'm sowing it in faith. And what happens is somebody comes along and water. I am standing here today because somebody has watered. Somebody has watered my life through a kind word or through a kind gesture. I'm so thankful that there were people that came to my life that weren't weary in their well doing. And I want you to know here this morning that Jesus wants us to understand the principle. And as you go through the word and as you are sowing to the Spirit, in other words, as you are investing in your spiritual life and your spiritual, and I'm just conceptually laying this framework. The others are going to come along and get in detail in some particular passages, but I think my job is to framework this thing, frame this idea of sowing in the Spirit and thinking about what you're planting and thinking about what you expect to harvest. But as you read through the word of God, I want you to know that to understand the principles of the Spirit, amen, you've got to read the Bible. Amen. I know that sounds simple, but a lot of folk don't get that. Amen. Jesus describes the Spirit as being the Comforter. Yeah. He says that I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth, which is the Comforter. And the Comforter is going to come, and He's also the teacher. He's going to teach you
all things. Now, Paul often tells us also that the Holy Spirit he seals. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. You know what being sealed by the Holy Spirit means? I'll give you an example of this. I was opening some vitamins, a multivitamin the other day, and you ever open vitamins, open medicine, and you just want to open that thing, and you see the seal on there? And so there was a plastic seal on the outside. I opened it, and I took it off, and I thought I was about to pop my multivitamin, only to see that it was sealed again on the top. And then I took that off and I was ready to take the multivitamin, but there was a cotton ball on the inside. And then it was the word sealed for your protection. And as painful as that was for me to get into that bottle, and as irritated as I was, I stopped and thought about it, that I have comfort and assurance in knowing that sealed for your protection means that nothing on the outside can get in. And also nothing on the inside can get out. So when you've been sealed with the Spirit, that means there will be certain things that won't come out of your mouth, that won't come out of your heart, because you don't even want those words out into the world. And there are certain things that on the outside that won't be able to get in on the inside, because you've been sealed, you've been constrained by the Holy Spirit. When you were baptized into Christ, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus says you don't have to be comfortless. So what I'm saying here is this: you will not have power in your life without the Holy Spirit. Anytime you feel yourself powerless or weak, it's because you've been depending upon yourself instead of the Holy Spirit. I say where I am all the time: you can be powerful or you can be pitiful, but you can't be both. Either you're going to be pitiful and weak and powerless, or powerful. But Jesus says, if you're going to have power, in other words, the Holy Spirit is there to bring you into remembrance of what I said. So if you don't read the Bible, you're not sowing any good seeds of spiritual value. It all begins with Bible study. Listen, you can wear a cross around your neck. You can put a bumper sticker on your car that says honk if you love Jesus. You can have 15 crosses in your bathroom and a black Jesus hanging up in your dining room. But unless you read the word of God, you'll have nothing to draw. You have nothing to correct. The Spirit's job is to connect you to the word. Somebody says, I will listen to all of T.D. Jakes' sermons. The Spirit's job is to connect you to the word. Y'all think that a sermon on Sunday morning is enough? That's sowing to the Spirit. That's investing in the Spirit. Somebody says, I don't have time. Isn't it funny how y'all will rush me through my sermon and say I've gone too long, but you will not rush Dak through four quarters? You won't rush the Rockets. Well, I was going to say Harden, but y'all don't have nobody now, but whoever y'all got now, they dismantle y'all's whole squad. We paying attention down there. But whoever y'all got, y'all go home and you'll watch overtime. And then turn on Queen Sugar. And then turn it on Oprah. Then turn it on Netflix. And you just watch TV the entire night. Yet you wanted to rush Brother Smith through the sermon. Because you don't even care about the things of God. If you were trying to sow to your spirit, Sunday would actually be the Lord's day. Well, you would fill up and get all that you can. The reason why God can't fill up some of us, because we're already filled with our own self-righteousness. We're already full. Ain't no room for the Spirit. So to understand it, and I'm moving toward a close. To understand it, I got three closes. So that was my first one. Where I'm from, I got three closes, and they already know it. They were like, number one, right over here in my amen corner. But to understand it in the Spirit, Jesus taught it in the flesh. So in other words, if there is no understanding or correlation to you grasping the concept in the flesh, you won't get it in the Spirit. Sorry. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the word of God without little effect? God forbid, he says, let God be true and let every man be a lie. And I thought about this and considered this: how do I let God be true when God is already true by himself? Every time you take God at his word, you are letting God be true. And every time you say, I'm sowing this seed in faith with some expectancy, See, we got to stop sowing these seeds with no expectation. I don't expect God to bless me. I don't expect that God won't. See, I learned to believe that God wants to bless me. We struggle along the way. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. I think as I go through the Gospel of John, and I want to encourage you, just go through the Gospel of John. I love all the Gospels as I move to my second close. As I go through all the Gospels, I love the Gospel of John because it exemplifies the deity of Christ. It exemplifies that God can do all things to those who are willing, but he always requires that you do something. Faith without works is dead means faith only works when we work. Is there anybody? Well, is there somebody here that expects a check without working? Anybody got somebody at your house right now that always eats but never works? See that hitting them lights that hit different when you paying it. Y'all seen those Progressive insurance cursing? Well, you would become your parents. I have become my dad. I'm walking through the house mumbling under my breath about all these lights being on. They got this light on. Y'all not losing this light? Because they don't understand that leaving those lights on is like sowing a seed. And the bill is going to come. See, sometimes we sowing a seed and we get the bill, we don't want to pay it. You reap what you sow. This is your doing. Stop blaming everything on the devil. Some stuff is just the seeds that you have planted. We give the devil too much power. Follow the Gospel of John. There's a song a cappella used to sing. We've seen his glory. You don't have to go back and stand on the rock that Moses stood. Mary, don't you weep. Martha, don't you moan. Oh, if I could go back and stand where Jesus stood. Jesus don't need to show up in a dream and come to your house. We got faith. If you don't have faith, you don't have anything. You don't have to see it to believe it. Remember, John writes about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of what? The only begotten, full of grace and of truth. See, in life, you got to have some grace and you got to have some mercy. Thank God for grace and mercy. Thank God for grace and truth. See, some of us want all grace, but no truth. Some of us want to be all truth, but no grace. See, I've learned that our Christian life is about moderation. And in the church, I'm afraid we have brought this political jargon into the church. I am conservative and I'm liberal. It's not being conservative or liberal. It's about being right or being wrong. Some of our places have too much grace where we say, you can just do whatever you want to do. God don't work like that. There's expectations and consequences for seeds that being so, but some of us have too much truth. We got the law of the letter, but we don't have the spirit of the letter. We beheld his glory. Y'all remember in John chapter 2, there was a wedding of Canaan. We see that Jesus' mother knew that Jesus could do some things. And Jesus wasn't ready to come forward and show his power. And she told the servant, she said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. I'm telling somebody here this morning, whatever this word tells you to do, and when you do what this word tells you to do, you are sowing to the Spirit. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, I know we try to twist it. I know we think we are the exception to the rule, but whatever he does, God is not mocked. Even though your situation is unique, you're unique. I want you to know that you're not that special. I'm not that special. That I can believe that I am the exemption or the exception to the principle. Remember in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, the ruler, Jesus told him the truth. Can a man, Jesus said, you must be born again. And he didn't understand it because he was getting it in the physical. Jesus was using that metaphorically. He said a man has got to be born again, but he's got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Of the water and the Spirit. And if he's not born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Remember when Jesus came across a Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. And the woman was at the well in the middle of the day. And the woman said, Jesus said, can I have something to drink? The woman was shocked. She said, how is it that you... double negative. You are not only a male, But I am a Samaritan and you are a Jew, and you know we don't have any dealings with one another. How is it that you asked me for something to drink? Jesus said, hold on, I got something for you. He said, if you knew who it was that was asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and I would have given you liver. Jesus stepped to the woman at the well in the middle of the day, and if she could understand what it was meant to draw water from a well, he says, I would have given you living water. And this living water that I would have given you, you would never be thirsty again. Remember, there was a man in John chapter 5 at the pool of Bethesda. Remember, he had been laying there 38 years. And he expected that God would just show up. Jesus would just show up and just the pool would stir. And he would say that someone would jump into his way of getting into this healing pool. And Jesus saw him. And you would think that Jesus would ask him, hey, I'm sorry. You've been there a long time, buddy. I'm so sorry. You've been in your condition. We think the Lord is happy or petting us over our conditions. You would think that, well, Jesus, come on. This man has been laying here 38 years. You don't think he wants to get up? Some of you say, Lord, I've been struggling. You don't think I want to be right? But the Lord knows the seeds you've been sowing. It's a difference sometimes between what come out of your mouth and what you actually do. And so some of us are frustrated because there's a disconnect. We want to be blessed, but we don't sow the right seeds. So Jesus asked him, forcing him to consider what he was doing. Jesus said, do you even want to be made whole? Well, why would you say that? I've been laying. Because if you wanted to be made whole, then you wouldn't be sitting here for 38 years. There's something that you've got to do. I want you to get your mat, take up your bed, and walk. And I'm speaking to somebody that's right. If you want your situation to change, if you want things to be different, you've got to do something. You've got to change the seeds that you're sowing. You've got to change your heart and be receptive to what God is doing. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? I'm on my third close now. That means I'm almost done. Jesus fed the 5,000. And remember that the object lesson was not about the food. He took the 5 loaves, and I think he said to one of them, as a question of Philip, he said, how are we going to feed all these people? And he might be asking you to say, maybe you ask yourself, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to pay these student loans? How am I going to raise these kids? And we always have these how questions. And he told Philip, he already knew the answer. But I want you to think about it. How is this going to happen? He said, well, we got these 5 loaves and 2 fish. He multiplied it. But let me tell you something. Before you start breaking bread, ask God to bless it. Anybody in here know that God can stretch your finances? See, the reason why I've learned to be thankful for what I have, because I've learned how to deal with little. And when you learn how to make it on little, you can be fine. I know y'all live in Houston. I know you drive nice cars and live in nice places, but it wasn't always that way. See, right now, I'm going to find something good to eat after, but you know what? I'd be happy with a syrup sandwich. Y'all don't know about syrup sandwiches in Houston. Anybody know about a mayonnaise sandwich in Houston? Anybody know what a sugar butter sandwich is in Houston? And you be happy with a little bit, and you just thank God for what you had, and you were content. And when you start getting stuff, that's when you started being unhappy. You asked God to bless this little check, and God multiplied it, and God stretched it. I remember when I was in college, if somebody gave me a $20 bill, you would have thought I won the lottery. I said, I'm going to Kroger. I'm going to give me some hamburger helper. I'm going to put $10 in the tank. I'm going to put $3 in the offering. He'll multiply it. All these people ate. But then the object of the lesson was not to get them to be hungry and be fed. A multitude began to follow him for food. And remember, the disciples, he told them to take the scraps and put it in a bag and carry it with them on the other side. And I used to wonder, why would he tell them to put the scraps in the bag? Because all he had to do was call fish up from the lake. But he told them to take the scraps. Don't leave nothing. You know, don't leave any leftovers, because when you appreciate what God has given you, you don't leave anything. Any leftovers. You're grateful for it all. And he told them to put the scraps in the bag. But I wondered, why did he tell them to do this? Because there was a great storm that was arising. And then the Bible says in one version, I think it's Mark's version, that says he was upset with them when the storm began to batter their ship and they became fearful and afraid. He says that they had failed to consider the miracle of the loaves and the fish. In other words, y'all, you got something in your bag. You got some scraps, some leftovers. You got enough evidence that God has been with you. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Keep on fighting and take those scraps with you as relics or reminders of how good God has been. Y'all, I got to close, but I'm still working. Remember the woman that was caught in the act of adultery in John chapter 8? And they brought the woman to Jesus and they said, "Master, what do you say?" And Jesus, the most brilliant answers ever, Jesus bent down on the ground and he began to write on the ground. And he got up and he said, "He who was without sin cast the first stone." And he said, "He was not committed adultery cast the first stone." Some of them could have stayed and some of them could have left. But he's the greatest equalizer ever. He said, "He who was without sin." And watch this. He said, "From the oldest to the youngest." Somebody said, "Why do the old folks?" Because some of y'all that are older, you got more skeletons because of your time you've been around. Time just brings more skeletons. More stuff that you need forgive. He says, "And from the oldest to the youngest." And then he told the woman, he says, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "I don't have none." And he says, now watch this though. Here's that grace and truth. He says, "I don't condemn you." But he says, "Go and sin no more." I don't condone your behavior, but I don't condemn you. Aren't we glad this morning that the Lord doesn't condemn us? When we don't always know how to sow to the Spirit, he said, "Go and sin no more." The man born blind from birth in John chapter 9, he said, "This man was planted." In other words, his life was planted this way so I could get the glory from giving him the sight. Remember, he waited days when Mary and Martha sent word to him about Lazarus. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Amen. Y'all, if I was at home, this would just be my introduction. Oh, there's so much more to say, Brother Smith. This is some good stuff, and I pray that y'all would be blessed in this series. I pray that this would trigger thoughts of considering the ground upon which the word of God falls. Sometimes we've lost our palate or our appetite of things holy, of things spiritual. We are consumed with the news. Fear has taken over our lives. We have been paralyzed by things out of our control, things we can't change, things we have no power over. You can't control the government. You can't control the pandemic. You can't control what other folk do, but you can control what happens to you. You can't control your response to it. And you can't control what you choose to plant your seeds. And you can control the ground upon which seeds planted into you fall. Some of them fall on, you know, the parable of the sower, and he's going to get into it in later detail. Some of us this morning were like the seed that's sown, and the enemy came and took the seed before it even was able to take root. Maybe you're here because somebody told you you should be here.
Right.
Or I'm just here because I'm just doing my time. You don't come to church to do time.
Right.
We are a group of planet folks. Not a group of dead folks.
Yeah.
That means that over time you ought to feel stronger.
Amen.
Each week than you were before. And I never get when somebody said, "Brother Bailey, that was good, but I ain't getting that out of that message."
What?
That wasn't for me. It's all for you.
Oh,
amen. I learned from my daughter, my 11-year-old. Sometimes she's saying so she don't even realize that my heart is, "Lord, wherever you want to teach me, teach me."
Amen.
And we can learn from anybody. And we got to be humble about our walk. Well, I got to go because I want to come back one day. But it's so much I could say that. But sow to the Spirit and reap everlasting life. That means that I know it's hard to do right.
Amen.
Especially when nobody's watching.
Amen.
When nobody's patting you on the back.
Amen.
When you don't have the accolades, you don't have the cheer. Be your own cheerleader.
Come on now. Yes, sir.
I read one time David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to pat yourself on. Good job, Sam. Keep on going. Preach. You know, that's why them preachers say, "Amen, lights, walls."
Right.
I've learned that if it ain't good to you, it don't matter. Because if it's good to me, Brother Smith, you know what the pandemic taught us? There used to be a time where I used to need an amen.
Yeah.
And used to have to see a face.
Yeah.
But when you start speaking, preaching to empty rooms and cameras,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
you got to know if you're really convicted about this. So I want to tell you, my church at home is a lot different than my church when I come around y'all.
Yeah, all right.
When I'm riding at home, I lift my hands.
Yeah.
I shout, but sometimes I be afraid of that because I don't want y'all looking at me funny. But the psalmist says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his word does he meditate both day and night. And when you do that, here's the result. He or she shall be like a tree that has been planted by the rivers of water and in due season. If you just hold on at the right time, when God wants it to happen, after a little time has passed, in due season, it's going to bring forth fruit. And his leaf will not wither. That's why Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine. And you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. If you have been having power outages, it's because you've been disconnected from the source. If you are not happy, that means you are depending upon something happening. But if you want joy, you got to stay connected to the source. Thank you all for being such a fine audience this morning. I pray that whatever you do prospers because you're planted in the right place.
Amen.
I pray that you would keep your heart open every week to hear these messages.
Please.
Every time you get a chance, whether we're online or whether we're here, every chance you get to hear the word of God, you've got to digest it. You've got to feed on it. You've got to feast it because it's the word of God that transforms you. If you don't read your Bible, I promise you, you will not grow because there is nothing for the Spirit to connect to. The Spirit is not connecting to the Bible.com app. The Spirit is not connecting to your calendar that flips and gives devotional thoughts. It's not connecting to somebody's statement on Facebook. It's connecting to the word of God. Spirit discerns the things of God. So I pray this morning that you can see the twofold part of this message, sowing and receiving.
Amen.
There'll be times where you have to sow those seeds and wait on them. And then there'll be times that you have to be the ground upon which the seed falls. But if you sow to the Spirit, expect that. That's why I'm here. I believe that one day when I get to glory, I'm going to get there because God knows my heart.
Amen.
And God has seen my works. The scripture teaches we're not saved by works. We're going to be judged by them.
Amen. That's
I want to be able to hear the Lord say, listen, unless you heard, I'm done. I'm sorry, Brother Smith. Unless you heard him say, well done, that means you have not done well. Some of us have already rested as if we heard him say, well done. I don't need no more word tonight. What else can he tell me that I don't already know? Well, you be arrived. I ain't there yet. I'm like Paul. Paul says, I've not attained. I've not arrived. I'm not perfect. I got to continue to put those things behind me and press toward the mark. If Christ is the standard, all of us got a long way to go. And if Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, can say, I'm not there yet, surely you and I can say, I'm not there yet. I'm a seed. God has planted me in the right place. I'm growing in the dirt in the dark. But at the right time, you're going to see a different person because the word is transforming me from the inside out. If you want your muscle to grow, go in the gym and break it down. But you got to let it rest and it'll grow. That's, you can sow a seed. Some of you understand. Sowing the seed, making the right decisions, and reaping the harvest. If you're here this morning, you need prayer. The Bible says, God says, my house will be called a house of prayer. The word tells us that the fervent, effectual prayers of the righteous, they do avail it much. I know there are people here that might be struggling, maybe because you don't understand that principle of seed time and harvest. Maybe you've been sowing to the wrong things. Maybe you've been sowing in materialism, sowing in a job, sowing in people. Maybe you've been self-absorbed and you have not been invested in the spiritual man. But I'm telling you, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians tells us, peace, joy, meekness, temperance, love. In other words, that's the evidence that the Spirit is in you. Then he talks about the flesh produces works.
Amen.
But the Spirit produces fruit. I wish I had time to deal with that. But if you need prayer, this is the opportunity. Well, maybe there's someone who doesn't understand where your life begins. Paul tells us all spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus. That means that is the originator of it. If you're not in Christ, you have no reference point of even where to begin to understand who he is. Jesus says, I come that you have life more abundant.
Amen.
I've come that you have life, John 10, in verse number 10, but I come that you have it more abundantly. But he also says a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things which he possesses. You can have a lot of stuff. You can be rich when you're poor and poor when you're rich.
Amen.
But he says the abundant life comes from being connected to the resource.
Come on,
as long as I know I got a resource, I ain't worried about it. And we're connected
Amen.
To the source. Stay connected to the vine. And sometimes the vine dresser's got to prune you. He got to cut on you a little bit. But he says, after I cut on you, then you can bring forth much fruit.
Amen.
So sometimes God allows us to be cut on a little bit because we're not ready yet to bring forth the fruit that we need to be bringing forth in our lives. And so I think if you are questioning your harvest, don't question the seed, the word of God. Because in the parable of the sower and the seed, he says the seed is the word.
Amen.
There's never a problem with the integrity of the seed. There's a problem with the environment in which seed has been planted.
Right.
Baptism is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh.
Yes,
it's an answer of a good conscience toward God.
Wow.
You go down into the watery grave, have your sins washed away.
Amen.
You come up a new creature,
Amen.
A new creation in Christ.
Amen.
And you ought to begin to walk in the newness of life. Again, the old man has been crucified. And the desires of the old man have been crucified.
Amen.
And if you believe that, you have to repent of your sins. Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall also likewise perish. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
Matthew 10:32, whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
And if you confess him, Jesus says that you'll be saved.
Amen.
And be baptized for the remission of your sins. Mark 16:16. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Why are we still arguing about the essentiality of baptism? Jesus said out of his own mouth. He told Nicodemus, you should be born of the water and of the Spirit. Buried with him in baptism. And I prayed this morning that if you need to come and give your life to Christ, you can. Maybe this series for somebody offers a chance to reset.
Amen.
A mindset. And consider the seeds you've been sowing.
Right.
As well as the soil in which those seeds can be cultivated on. God bless you. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. I'm sorry if I went over a little bit. God bless you. It takes time sometimes to work in this word. God bless you.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you fully trusted in his grace?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansed?